I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Deeply Rooted with me, your host, Sinazo Kos. This is a podcast where we discuss and delve deeper into the intimate conversations we all have with our Heavenly Father. Welcome to it, beloved. Welcome to yet another episode of Deeply Rooted. As I said in the intro, this is where we discuss, delve deeper into the intimate conversations we have with our Heavenly Father. We answer everyday questions, you know, pertaining to our faith and our walk with God and just pertaining to society in general and the things that we see and go through and everything really, you know, big or small, nothing is too big, nothing is too small, everything in between. We literally discuss it here at Deeply Rooted. So thank you for always choosing us as your Christian podcast to listen to, among others. Thank you for sharing the links. Thank you for tuning in. You know, numbers speak. You know, people usually say numbers speak. So we are really, really growing as a family. So it's doing a lot. Don't stop supporting. Don't stop sharing. So thank you so much. Even to the new ones, welcome to the Deeply Rooted family. We are growing as a family immensely. You know, from the start of this podcast until now, we are growing from glory to glory, from strength to strength. You know, so there's still more that's going to come. We believe that your life will be impacted and you will grow to know God more and more and more intimately. So yeah, that's what we do here at Deeply Rooted. And this week's episode won't be any different. We will be speaking about something that is happening at the time of this recording. There's a lot of social issues that are rampant or prevalent in society, right? And not to say that before this time, you know, they were not prevalent or they were not visible, but there are issues and particular incidents that happen that really highlight that, okay, you know what? We are actually facing a pandemic in society. We actually have these social issues and they are a reality in our society, in our families, in the church, you know, all over society, really. So we will be talking about how we, as the body of Christ, as children of God, as those who've given their lives to Christ, as those who've accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior and have a relationship with God that we are prioritizing and growing, how should we respond to social issues that we see in society? So social issues range from gender-based violence to poverty to crime to just so many things that we see in the news. And how should we respond as children of God? Maybe you might be asking yourself about, okay, ndingenapi, like, how does that concern me as an individual? But remember, in the previous episode, I did say that when we give our lives to Christ, right, we become part of a body, like a board of directors or part of a company, you know, if I can put it that way. Because the Bible says that everyone who gives their lives to Christ belongs then to the body of Christ. We are called as a collective the body of Christ, right? So as a body, we should have one response and one way of thinking, one way of speaking that identifies with Christ our King, who we've given our lives to, right? So now this episode today, what has been laid in my spirit, in my heart, is to answer the question, how should we respond to social issues as children of God, as those who've given their lives to Christ, you know? And what does the Word of God say about social issues? You know, the Word of God speaks about everything, by the way. It speaks about social issues. It speaks about all of these things, poverty, gender-based violence, crime. It literally touches on these particular things that we see on a day-to-day basis. And unfortunately, at this time, right now, the date is the 28th of May, I think. It is the 28th of May. And it is a time where there's just so much going on in the news. There's gender-based violence that is happening. There's a particular lady that has just been murdered, you know. And it's not the first time. It's not the second nor the third time. It happens so much. Like, we are facing a huge pandemic of femicide in our country. We are facing crime in our country. We are facing poverty. So many issues, you know. So what is our role and what should our response be as the body of Christ? That's what we will be talking about in today's episode. So To answer that question, first of all, let me just say thank you, guys. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for sharing the links. And thank you for tuning in. And I trust and believe that you guys are growing. You know, I've been hearing a lot of responses from people saying that their lives are being changed. They're getting perspective. And I'm really grateful to God, because what I do here is really in obedience to Him and what He lays in my heart to share to people. So I pray and I believe that even today's episode will really shed some light, you know, on a range of things, on a range of questions that you guys might have on this particular topic. So to answer the question, what should our response be as children of God, as the body of Christ? The first scripture I'd like to refer to, because that's how we're all here, Deeply Rooted, by the way, everything, we answer it through scripture, through the word of God. You know, we always look at what God has to say, and God's words and God's opinions are found in the Bible, in the word of God. So in the book of Psalm 89, verse 44, right, the writer says, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face." So this writer is writing about God, basically, right? Who he is, just describing a particular characteristic of God, right? People usually say, and it's even in the Bible, it shows in the Bible that God is a God of justice. He's, as much as he's a God of forgiveness and a God of mercy, he's also a God of justice, right? If we could go through the scripture again, it says, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne." Meaning God's throne, God's rulership, God's government is based on righteousness and justice. You can never ever separate God from justice. You can never ever separate God's kingdom, God's rulership, justice from God's rulership and God's sovereignty and kingdom. We can never separate it from justice, right? So it says righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne, right? Mercy and truth go before your face. So God's mercy and God's grace, God's forgiveness goes hand in hand with God's justice, right? You can never separate God being a God who's forgiving, a God who's merciful and gracious, from the God who is still a righteous and a justice, a God of justice, you know. So that basically shows, beloved, that we serve a God who loves justice, who wants justice to be served, who wants the poor to be apprehended and saved, rather, from their poverty, who wants people who commit crime to pay for their criminal acts, right? Because he's a God of justice. This scripture says, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne," right? So I'm highlighting this so that we understand our role from who God is, because everything that God expects us to do is in line with who he is. God will never expect us to do anything that is not in line with who he is, right? If he's a holy God, he will expect us to live lives that, you know, reflect who God is, right? Even when it comes to justice and, you know, responding to social issues, we need to understand who God is to then understand the role that we should play, right, as believers in response to social issues, right? So righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. God is a God of justice. That we should just put clear out there, that he's not only a God of mercy, he's not only a God of forgiveness and grace, he's a God of justice. His throne has its foundation as righteousness and justice, right? And we've seen this many times, for example, in the Bible, where people did wrong and they were punished for their wrongdoings, because God is a God of justice, right? We cannot separate God from being a God of justice. God serves justice where it's needed, and he gives mercy where it's necessary, right? Because sometimes mercy is necessary in a particular situation, but in other situations, justice is very much necessary, right? For example, I can count many situations, like we know King David, right, the writer of Psalms, and so many other places in scripture, where he was called and known as a man after God's own heart. He had a very close and very intimate and open relationship with God. That's one thing that David was known for, right? But here, David did something, right? Something very horrible. So there was a guy called Uriah. I'll just summarize the story. A guy called Uriah, and Uriah had a wife called Bathsheba. So David, on one odd day, saw Bathsheba taking a bath, and David was like, actually, I want that girl. And what he did was he murdered Uriah, who happened to be Bathsheba's husband, right? And then so many things happened. They got married. They had a child. And the child unfortunately lost his life. And that was basically that was something that God allowed for David to be punished for what he did to Uriah, because murder and killing will always be wrong under any circumstances, you know. So that was basically God being a God of justice in that case. And we know that after that entire situation happened, David then repented and came back to God and, you know, asked for forgiveness, you know, from God. And God forgave him, but that was only after God exercised justice in that situation. So it shows that he is a God of justice. He doesn't let wrongdoing just go and, you know, go unpunished or go unnoticed, you know. And so many other situations. I mean, for example, we know the story of Jonah, who was sent to Nineveh, and instead of going there, he just decided to go his own direction. And then now there was a storm while he was on a certain boat going to a different destination. He was then thrown into the ocean and swallowed by a fish. Like, we know that entire story, right? But while he was still in the belly of that fish, then he repented. And then God forgave him. But that was after he experienced that entire situation, that traumatizing situation of being thrown inside the sea. Like, you can imagine how it is, guys. You know, so that was God's justice. That was God's justice prevailing in that kind of situation. And then after that kind of justice prevailed and was exercised by God, then he came and repented. Then he was forgiven. But after God exercised justice. And many other situations, like, for example, the prodigal son, guys, you know, he decided to be rebellious and take his inheritance and go just splurge his money, you know, living a life that doesn't honor God, you know, splurging it on drinking, parties and drugs, I can imagine, and prostitutes and all of that stuff. And when that all happened and the money was spent and got finished, he then found himself living in pigsties, working on a pig farm, you know, eating with pigs, you know. So it was just such a sad, sad situation where he literally experienced the consequence of his actions. So all of these people that I'm literally mentioning right now, the prodigal son, David, Jonah, these people did things, you know, did wrong things, and they suffered the consequences of their actions. So as much as they came back and repented to God afterwards to say, God, I shouldn't have done this, I'm really sorry, God did forgive them. God, you know, exercised mercy towards them. But that was after they experienced the consequences of their actions. So God does not exempt us from the consequences of our actions, unfortunately, beloved. Actions have consequences. That's just the unfortunate part of life. And God allows it because he's a God of justice. He can't go against who he is. He is a God of justice. As the previous scripture said, you know, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. You know, so he's a God who governs by justice and righteousness. So we should know that as the body of Christ, as people who have given their lives to Christ and have a relationship with God. So if we know that about God, what does it say then about us and our response to social issues and to crime and gender-based violence and poverty that happens, right? So a scripture that highlights this clearly is the book of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. So the writer says, "Learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow." So this is basically a verse that outlines how we should be as believers in Jesus Christ, as those who have a relationship with God, right? We should be people who seek justice, people who rebuke the oppressor, people who defend the fatherless, plead for the widow, right? So it just shows how our heart posture should be and how our first response should be when we see injustice happening in society, when we see social issues happening, when we see corruption happening, when we see abuse happening, you know, when we see murder, crime, all of these things. We should seek justice as people that call themselves believers in Jesus Christ, as people who are children of God. Because this scripture says, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor. So we shouldn't be quiet, beloved. We are not allowed to be quiet as the body of Christ. When social issues happen, we are not allowed to be quiet, because it says here in the book of Isaiah chapter 1 verse 17, it says, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. So the fatherless and the widow, those are people who are victims. Those are people who have experienced injustice, that have experienced crime and abuse, right? And loss. So when we see poverty happening, when we see people being abusive, when we see even inside the church, guys, because one thing that I've seen, which is so distasteful, is people inside the church who stand up for abusers, who speak on behalf of the abusers. But that is not allowed, Bazalwane. It is not allowed from us, believers in Jesus Christ, right? Because this scripture states it clearly that we should seek justice. We should rebuke the oppressor. We should call out people who are acting unjustly, even in the church. And we should not let them be exempt from the consequences of their actions, because God never did that. When people that were really close to God, people like David, when they did wrong, they suffered the consequences of their actions. You know, people like Jonah, you know, people like the prodigal son, a lot of people that messed up, God didn't let them loose. God didn't let them go and, you know, just have fun and forget that anything happened. God made sure that justice is served. God made sure that, you know what, I'm a God of justice, and I will make sure that this person experiences the consequences of their actions. And then they repent afterwards, because a danger of not calling out oppressing and abuse and calling out social issues is that people don't repent because they think it's right, and then they continue in their behavior and waywardness. But we, as believers in Jesus Christ, as children of God, we shouldn't allow that to happen. We should call people out. We should seek justice. When something happens, you know, in the family or in society or in the church, let's say a rape case happens, let's say murder or whatever happens, our first response should be calling on the law. We should call the police, Bazalwane, not a meeting, not a family meeting, unfortunately, because that is against the word of God. The word of God says we should seek justice. We should rebuke the oppressed. Seeking justice means going to the court of law. It means going to the police, opening a case and dealing with the person. And if the person repents in jail, God will accept that person's repentance. That person will be forgiven, but they have to pay for the consequences of their actions, you know. So we need to be people that stand up for what is right. We need to be people that seek justice for those who are oppressed. We need to rebuke the oppressor. We need to call out people who are oppressive. You know, that's what the word of God says. And the reason why we should do that is because we love these people. And I know that sounds counterintuitive, but you know, when I was growing up, I used to hear people talking about something called tough love. You know, sometimes you need to be tough on people to show them that you love them, you know. And for example, one of the most popular scriptures in the Word of God, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, speaks about love. You know, we all know it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Verse 6 of that chapter says, love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Right? So if you really love someone, you will not be happy that they're doing evil things, but you will delight in the truth, right? So you will delight in the injustice being found, in that person being rebuked, because if that person doesn't get rebuked, then you are letting that person continue in their behavior, and you're letting them go without suffering the consequences of their actions. And that is not in line with the word of God. You know, so we need to stand up as children of God. If we really love our brothers and sisters, if we really love our family members and just love God, because the Bible says, if you really love me, Jesus said, if you really love me, keep my commandments, right? And one of the things that God expects us to do is to seek justice, to rebuke the oppressor, to stand up for what is right, and to not be quiet. We, unfortunately, as Abazalwane, we are not allowed to be quiet. We should speak up. We should stand up. We should seek justice. We should rebuke the oppressor, whether it's someone who is well-reputed or someone who's really loved in your family or in the church or in society, but call that person out and make sure that justice is served. Because by so doing, you are living in line with who God is, because he's a God of justice. And he wants us to stand up for widows. He wants us to stand up for victims. He wants us to protect victims. Victims should know that when they come to the church, when they come to a fellow brother or sister in Christ, they will receive comfort and they will receive justice. And by doing so, Bazalwane, we are living in a way that glorifies God. We are living in a way that shows that we are children of God and we are following what is in his word, you know. So anyone who is in the church who tells you that or perpetrators or oppressors should be defended, that person is misrepresenting God. That person is misrepresenting Christ and the word of God. Because the word of God says we should seek justice. We should literally rebuke oppressors, you know. It's very, very important, Bazalwane. And with that, there's literally a reward. There's a reward with standing up for what is right and speaking out against oppressors. The reward is found, for example, in the book of the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 6, right? The writer says, and this is Jesus, by the way, he's speaking on, it's a sermon on the mountain. He's speaking, he's saying, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled, right? So if you hunger and you thirst for righteousness is not only being morally right and being in right standing with God. But another word for righteousness, it can be used interchangeably in certain contexts with the word justice. So if we are people that are always seeking what is right, if we are people that are always seeking for justice and wanting to make sure that we rebuke oppressors and we protect those who have been put in a vulnerable position, we will be blessed, because the Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled, right? So it means God will literally make it happen when we pray for people who have been oppressed or abused, when we protect them, when we rebuke the oppressor, when we seek justice for people who have been harmed. Then God will bless us and we will be filled, and God will make sure that justice prevails, because he is a God of justice, and his throne, its foundation, like the foundation of his throne, as the book of Psalms said, is righteousness and justice, you know. So that should be our response, Bazana. Wherever we can, if we are able to seek justice, if we are able to make sure that someone gets justice and a perpetrator gets behind bars and faces the music and the consequences of their actions, if we're able to do that, we should definitely do it. If we see someone in a vulnerable position and we're able to save that person and put them in a safer place or safer position, we should be doing that, because by so doing, we are glorifying our Father in heaven and we are living lives that are in line with who God is, you know. So that is very important, Barcelona, and I am so sorry for those who are triggered, because I know that this is a very, very crucial and ugly time, you know. There's so much evil going on, and as someone who works in the media, because I'm a journalist, I see this all the time. I see news, you know, of crime, of abuse, of injustice every single day, you know. And we need to believe that these things that happen, you know, the people that are doing all these crimes and injustices, we should know that it is a thing of their heart posture. It's a thing of how their heart is made up, or the disposition of their heart. You know, because the Bible says everything that you do flows from your heart. So everything that you do, whether it's good or it's bad, you know, especially if it's a habit, whatever you do habitually shows the condition of your heart. So one thing that the Holy Spirit laid to me yesterday is that these people, this is a hot situation. It's a hot issue that we are facing right now. These criminals, these perpetrators of violence and oppression, these people are people that have hearts which are far from God. You know, so it is very important for us to know that. And there's only one person who's able to change someone's heart, and that is God. That is the maker of the heart himself. No one can change their own heart. It's only God. So people's hearts are far from God. Hence then they do these things. They make these choices, you know, to instead of doing right, but they do wrong, you know. So we know, you know, people, Bible scholars, and I've mentioned this many times, you know, in many episodes, that God made a promise that in the last days, as much as there will be bad that is happening, but God made a promise that he will pour his spirit on all flesh, you know. And when God pours his spirit on many people, a lot of people are going to turn to Christ. A lot of people are going to see their lives and hearts being transformed, and therefore they are going to start acting right, and therefore they are going to start prioritizing their relationships with God. So that is one thing that we should take heart in, that as much as we are seeing this evil right now, as much as we should stand up, seek justice and rebuke oppressors and make sure that those who are vulnerable are protected, we need to know that God is going to work. God's glory is going to be manifested and it's going to show, and his promise is going to be fulfilled eventually, you know, of the outpouring of the Spirit and people's hearts being transformed, so that they make better choices. They, instead of doing bad, they do good, you know. And that choice they're going to make when their hearts have been transformed, when they give their lives to Christ, and that's going to happen a lot when we see the outpouring of the Spirit happening. We've seen it. We've been seeing it. Like I spoke I think two or three episodes ago about how, you know, a lot of celebrities and people that we least expect are coming to Christ. So we are going to see that happening. We're going to see that change happening. And as much as it's so disheartening to see what's happening around us, but at the forefront of our minds as believers, we need to always remind ourselves that, you know what, there's a time that is coming where people's hearts are going to be transformed. People are going to turn to God, you know. So it's very important for us to keep that in our minds and just remember what the Bible says, you know, about what should consume our minds as believers. Because, I mean, it's so disheartening to look at what's happening outside and just dwell on that, right? But the Bible says in the book of Philippians, for example, chapter 4, verse 8, whatever is right, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is true, we should think on these things. Meaning what should dominate our minds is what is good. And what is the good thing that we should dwell on is what is still to come. Because in front of us right now, what's happening right now, there's nothing good that's happening right now. There's just evil and there's just so much injustice and social issues that are going on, you know, but what is to come is going to be good. What is to come is going to be, you know, what God intended and ordained to happen in the last days, which is the outpouring of his spirit, you know. So I'm praying for you, beloved, if you're triggered, if you're a child of God and you're triggered, just remember what is expected of you. Seek justice, do good, rebuke the oppressor, and protect the vulnerable, the fatherless, the widows, the abused. You know, the victims need to know that when they come to us as the church, as the body of Christ, as children of God, they should know that justice should be served. Justice will be served. The oppressor will be rebuked. They will be protected. You know, so we need to stand up for what is right, and that is according to the word of God. So for now, Bazalwane, as we are seeing how it is out there, let us just stick to Psalm 91 and just praying for God's protection over each and every one of us, praying that God protects us. You know, the book of Psalm 91 says, one verse says that we will not fear the pestilence that flies by day. We will not fear the arrow that flies by night. You know, so we need to pray Psalm 91 and have faith and trust the Holy Spirit to lead us and protect us and ask him to help us to listen to him. When he leads us to a certain direction, we should listen that, okay, this is where you should go. This is what you should avoid, you know. And let's just remain prayerful. And most of all, let's pray for the transformation of people's hearts. And that goes in line with God's promise that, you know, he will pour his spirit in the last days. So that's what I have for you today. Bazalwane, I pray that you are blessed. And I pray that in this heavy time, you find refuge in God. You find refuge in his word, in books like the Psalm, you know, that I just quoted right now, Psalm 91. And you just take heart in the fact that he will fulfill his promise in these last days. The promise that he will pour his spirit on all flesh. People are going to be saved. Their hearts are going to be transformed, you know. But when we see injustice happening, when we see people choosing to make these choices that are harmful to others and cause these social issues, whether it's corruption, whether it's gender-based violence, we need to stand up. You know, as I read the book of Psalm, Isaiah chapter 1 verse 17 says, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, you know, stand up for what is right. So it is very important for us to do that. And let us pray to God that he gives us the boldness and the confidence to do that. Because sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes people want to defend people because they love them. You know, maybe it's your family member, maybe it's your pastor. But whoever it is, you need to be able to stand up for what is right. Rather choose to live in obedience to God than in obedience to men. Because you will pay. You will pay a price for trying to defend what is wrong at the expense of standing up for what is right. Because God calls us to stand up for what is right. He's a God of justice. You know, justice and righteousness are the foundation of his throne. We've come to the end of today's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm praying for you guys during this time. I pray that God gives you peace. God gives us boldness to stand up for what is right and seek justice and rebuke the oppressor and protect those who are vulnerable, you know. And I pray that God helps each and every one of us, you know, to just take heart and lean on his word at this time. And also remember that there is a promise that he made and it will be fulfilled. Because God, you know, fulfills his promises. A lot of people are going to be saved. People's hearts are going to turn to God. People are going to start doing right. It's going to get better. It is going to get better, Bazalwane. That is a promise from God himself. Don't forget to subscribe to Iono FM, to Apple Podcasts, to Spotify, or wherever you choose to listen to your podcasts from. And don't forget to tune in to other podcasts that we have here under Times Live. We've got, you know, Taking Rams by the Horns. We've got Business Day Spotlight, the SL Cabinet. We've got so many others. So please do tune into those as well. Until next time, you are loved, you are treasured, you are precious in your Heavenly Father's sight. God bless.